You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Thoughts of suicide may feel impossible to overcome, but with help and support, you can find hope and meaning. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK to speak to a counselor, or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org. It's free, it's confidential, it's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And even if it feels like it, you are not alone.
The following program may contain sensitive content and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
We gotta do something.
Absolutely.
You know what we gotta do? Foga party.
Foga! Foga!
Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga!
Click! Click! Boom! I'm coming down on the stereo. Hit me on the radio. Click! Click! Boom!
I want you to kill every golfer on the course.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're going to lock me up and throw away the key.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh?
It is Chat Lives Matter Day right here on KLRN Radio, America's podcast network. Technical glitches will not stop us, you Chinese bastards. All right, just kidding. I don't know what's causing it, but everything with Spreaker is going completely nuts tonight. And then Skype decided it needed to do a 15-minute update when I gave up and restarted my computer. But that being said, we are back. We are live. It is typically the night where the time slot where you would hear Robinson and Wright. However, we are being joined again this evening by our the only Amish that I ever know of that at one time did trend on Twitter. The opulent Amish guy, otherwise known as Ordy, is probably the only Amish guy on Twitter. But good morning, good evening, sir. I almost said good morning. Can you tell I've been doing a morning show lately? Jesus
Christ. I'm fucking dizzy now. I was spinning in the chair for that intro.
It's one of those chair spinny songs. All right, so Matt, yeah. So I would ask how you've been doing, but I just hung out with you for the last hour.
Yeah, you heard all my bullshit.
Same stuff, different show. All right, so
same thing we do every night, attempt to take over the world.
Pretty much. All right, so this is something we don't always do on this particular show. Normally it's either Dan and I or you and I basically ranting about what's pissing us off or talking about nerd shit for an hour. But we have a guest this evening, so for those of you who may not have noticed, the disclaimer was a little bit different this evening. That's because the one, the only, the disclaimer lady for KLRN Radio, Leslie Dowd, is actually with us live tonight. Good evening, ma'am. How are you?
gentlemen.
Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Well, that's what we did. We'll do it live.
We'll do it live. Fuck. How you doing, Wesley? I haven't seen you in forever. Except on Twitter, like almost every day.
Thank God. I miss you guys so much. And I was tuning in last week, first time, long time. And I think I was tuning into Toxic Masculinity. And I was thinking to myself, damn it, I want to be on with these guys again. I want to be on a podcast. I want to talk to Ricky and Ordy. And here I am.
And here you are.
And we made it happen.
Yes, we're that embracing. You just call us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what we need right now. We need everybody to give everybody a little extra virtual love, a little extra virtual helping hand. And we're all here together as a team, and particularly the KLRN Radio family.
.net.
Nice.
Let's see.
Yeah, no, that's from another one of our shows. Last Pot on the Right. Bill Crow, whenever they say KLRN Radio, they end it with .net, like the old Priceline.lon commercials. Yeah, so right. Yeah, so that's my nod to Ben and Mike.
Ben deserves a nod. He's a hardworking dude. All right, so Miss Leslie, since it has been a while since we've talked, how have you been faring through all the craziness?
Well, thank God. I can't really complain. It's really interesting. I'm here in Massachusetts. It's interesting to see how the Commonwealth, and the cities are dealing with this. I think they're dealing with it worse and worse as time goes on. But we'll put that aside for later. I think the communities here, the social communities, and particularly my church community, if you guys want to talk about that, have been dealing with that quite gloriously in terms of adapting from social distancing requirements through the Easter holidays to how to keep communities together when you can't be together, and what for, you know, Christians is the most important day of the year, most important day of your life, basically. So that's been really interesting to see the adaptation about that. And I think generally that's been successful, not crazy about how over the course of this, let's say the 6 to 8 weeks, how the state and cities are adapting. It seems that they're almost going more draconian, more authoritarian, but I don't know. What's going on where you all live?
I'm in the People's Republic of California, so of course we can't do anything normal and not send mixed signals. Some of the beaches in Orange County are open, some are not. It all depends on if you had a protest, and if you were naughty, then you have to remain closed, but the next city over can open. And it's insane. But, you know, like we talked about before, you know, during the commercial break, I'm on the east side of the state. I've got the whole Sierra Nevada mountain range to protect me from the crazy. So life isn't that different than here. I mean, the only, aside from shopping and restaurants, I was joking about is that because the tourists can't come up here, all the fishing is to myself.
Nice.
You know, because we're kind of a sportsman's paradise and it's fishing season up here and ain't nobody out there. And the fish know it, too, so they're brave. I mean, they're not murder-hoarded brave, but, you know, they're just coming right up and taunting you and going, what, you're going to use that power bait, really? Really? Salmon eggs? Come on. Those are for the poor. Just go get me some. So, yeah, my life has changed.
You're desperate.
Yeah. How about you, Rick?
I mean, things are starting to slowly return to normal here. We've started opening things up. Of course, the town that I live the closest to, the most major town I live the closest to, happens to also be one of the most liberal towns in Oklahoma. So that mayor ain't never letting shit go. She's been sued like 4 times already because she keeps putting undue stresses on businesses even after she gives them permission to reopen. So it's just, I don't know. I'm just starting to think that I don't think we're ever going to be back to anything that I would remember as normal ever again at this point, because too many people are just ready to give everything up just because they're all afraid we're going to die.
We're going to die?
I'm not really with you on that, Rick. Although, I'll tell you the most terrifying thing I've ever heard is that this is going on in Oklahoma. So that's terrifying. I think, you know, I talk to a lot of people about this who think that we're never going to get back to a new normal. And my first reaction is, hey, we were all, and I think we're all, I don't know how old you are, Ordy. Ricky and I are close to the same age. We never thought we were going to get back to normal after 9/11.
Yeah. And
immediately after 9/11, then there was the anthrax scares, right, of anthrax being delivered to public figures, right, or suspected anthrax, suspected powder that was supposed to be anthrax. And then right after that, there was like this father and son or uncle and nephew, like going up and down highways in the DC, Maryland area, just like sniping people. That was all within basically 6 months. And I certainly remember, I thought we would never get back to a new normal. And how fast did we get back to a new normal after that, that most people don't even remember how afraid we were. So I have confidence that once this virus is contained, if you will, when everything is known about the virus and, God willing, treatments are proven and God willing, and I'm not even that crazy about the idea of a vaccine for it, but that God willing, treatments are proven. Yes, we will sooner than anybody thinks get back to a newer normal.
Yeah, no, and that's okay. On the 9/11 thing, I'm on the West Coast. So, I mean, it's while we felt solidarity and we were all shocked, what we noticed out here was the lack of airplanes. I mean, that was the impact. I mean, that was kind of like the, you know, because we've got wide open skies and it's like, hey, there's no planes flying. And it's the impact wasn't as bad out here as it was on the East Coast. And it's the same thing with the anthrax thing. That was a East Coast thing, and with the sniper was so out here. It's not that it didn't get normal. The most abnormal it really got was that I was a graveyard bartender, so people didn't want to watch the Oat Show anymore. They wanted to watch the news in the middle of the night, so they could watch the. I mean, that was really that was the long and the short. I mean, you know, I'm kind of feel bad that it didn't affect me that way, but it really didn't. And so that was really the only change in my life. Was, you know, at the time. But yeah, getting back to normal, and I think after this, it will get back to normal real quick. And it's going to come back. Everybody say, well, it's going to trickle and it's going to be feeble. I don't think so. You don't tell a whole bunch of people who are into freedom that they have to sit home, and then after their bills are paid, they're going to go shopping. They're going to go out and get, you know, the stuff that they couldn't get while we were shut, you know. Prime ain't that prime. It takes 6 weeks to get something now. When it goes back to one day, they're going to do all the impulse buying that they always did. I mean, it'll take a little bit of time for the people who were unemployed or, short employed for a while. But after that shakes out, it's going to come back stronger than it was before. I completely believe that.
So, 2 points. First of all, I think I may have figured out why Spreaker's been acting dumb all night. I just noticed there are 2 things that are trending right now, Spotify and TikTok down. So I'm wondering how many other apps are busted right now, including possibly potentially Spreaker. But so here's the only reason why, and I'm not talking about the economy. I don't think it'll take much to get that back to normal. But what I'm surprised about, and these are people that I talk to at the day job every day, that are like still completely in a panic that we're starting to try to open things back up again. I just, with as much as the media has gone in with this whole theory of this virus is going to kill every American, and remember, this stuff has been revised like 14 times. The original story was, no matter what we did, we were looking at least 1 to 2 million dead Americans. Then it was, if we did mitigation, it was down to maybe 150 to 200,000 dead Americans. But the whole thing about that is, every time they've changed the story, we now have an entire group of people that are afraid to leave their homes, and I don't know how we give them their potential security back because they are so terrified to do anything. I mean, I work with people right now that have already told our bosses, because they're talking about having us start trying to come back into the building, likely on June 1st. They're telling our bosses we ain't going back in there. We don't know when we're going back in there. Y'all are going to have to figure something out. And I don't get it, because personally, I enjoy being able to work from home. We've been doing this now for about 6 weeks. I've been doing morning shows just to keep my schedule as close to what it was before, because I know that at some point it's probably going to go away. But if they gave me the opportunity to stay and keep working from home, I would definitely do that. And I told them today when they asked me that. But we have, like, out of 80 people in our office, 50 are refusing to go back at all.
Well, Ricky, I think you're making an excellent point. But that point is a business point. And it's wonderful, because this is part of what I think is going to be a wonderful outcome from this tragedy, is that businesses and capitalism are, there's going to be new innovations for people to not have to necessarily show up to work in the office to work. So I've always believed that there is going to spring from this a whole bunch of new innovation that's going to be creative work, creative capitalism, and that it's going to allow partnerships and pairings between work. I hate the friggin' word workers, because that's a communist word. Okay, employees and employers to connect with each other without anybody having to show up to an office, and without employers having to spend so much money on real estate. And I think this is actually a big deal that's going to come out of this. But what I'm saying is, there's no employer, in my opinion, that's going to say, okay, hey, employee, we're opened up. You're going to be forced to show up in the office. That's not realistic. That's not going to happen.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, at some point, they're going to have to open things back up. And I don't know how we get back to that point when we have the entire corporate media complex basically telling everybody that we're all going to die. I mean, when do we start holding the media accountable again and making them do their actual jobs, not the shit they're doing right now? That's my first question, and I've been asking that for 6 weeks. Well, I mean, honestly, I've been asking.
We've all been asking this for like 12 years.
But yeah, right. I've been consistently asking it every single day for about the last 6 weeks, because that's just like, there was this study that was released, I believe it was day before yesterday, and even the people that were releasing it is like, this was not meant to be a prognostication tool of what's going to happen with the virus. And then yet you still have the media, newest report showing potentially 200,000 deaths by July. And the same people putting that out said this wasn't a model. And I'm just like, hey, why?
It was a study they scrapped.
Yeah, and it still got leaked.
Yeah. Because Orange Man Bad.
We know why.
I mean, I'm See, you and I know why. Ordy and I know why. Everybody that listens to KLR Radio knows why. And trust me, I, as much as I like to yell about the media, if it wasn't for them being really shitty at their job, I wouldn't have a part-time gig. So keep doing what you're doing, I guess, because all you're doing is giving me more of an audience because people actually tune into us. Because we'll tell, we may give it a little bit of flavor, but we're still going to tell them the truth while we're giving it, you know, our opinion to go with it. Because look, folks, here's the thing, and I say this all the time: we are all going to die sometime. So the only freedom that we have is the freedom to decide how we live. And we can either
it's gonna be murder hornets.
We can either wake up every day afraid that something is going to kill us, and or that everything is going to kill us, or we can say, you know what, I'm going to try to make the most out of the day that I can, and pray to God I don't get killed by a murder hornet. What the fuck is that anyway? I mean, have you seen those things? They're like 2-3 inches long. I swear to God, it looks like something. It looks like something from like one of the future sci-fi movies where they have drones that look like insects. I swear to God, those things aren't real.
And they look plastic too. So obviously they came from Japan. But I. I'm going to get letters. So, I mean,
please direct all hate mail to at. Just kidding.
Anyway. You know, this kind of goes like on Monday when we did Flu Bar, and I was talking about the monkey on the motorcycle trying to steal a kid, and I said in 48 hours this wouldn't even be the weirdest thing we've seen all week. We're getting near that time. I've already forgotten about it. I mean, the way 2020 happens now, I forgot about the Project Veritas story that happened this morning until right before we went on the air with Fu. I was like, oh shit, this was kind of a big deal. And so, yeah, murder hornets are just the thing that'll kill us this week.
So, actually, in case anybody...
Government hornets has just said.
Just in case anybody's just joining us and maybe hasn't tuned in for Fu, especially since I have to put the pieces together later because of the damn technical issues, what was the Project Veritas story?
Yeah, I don't know this either.
Okay, this morning Project Veritas released a behind-the-scenes thing, which is what they do, James O'Keefe, and what had happened was there was an employee at a hospital in Michigan. It's a nonprofit hospital, and CBS was doing a story, CBS The Morning Show was doing a story on the lines for testing and how, you know, the staff is overwhelmed and everything. So an employee who took part in this on the Monday – or whatever day it was, the next day he went and he realized that this was all staged. So he took his camera and he went and talked to other employees about it. And they were all pissed off because in order to help the hospital, it was kind of like a two-directional thing where CBS would get to do a story about how overworked the medical staff is and how long the lines are in waiting for to get tested. And then the hospital gets some free publicity. But the long line was hospital employees. It was staged.
Oh, so this is the... See, I don't remember this around James O'Keefe, but I remember that this morning CBS staged a story. That's the same story.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it was like... I mean, so here's the news organization that ran the footage of the Italian hospital saying it was New York. Oops, that was an accident. That was just some intern put the wrong B-roll on the story. Runs it again saying it's Boston. Now they're staging an event at a Michigan hospital to make it look like that the staff are overwhelmed. And the tragedy about it is there were people actually in line who were there to get tested. And because of so much confusion, the staff was like just bullshitting them like they were there. When the staff realized what was going on, they were bullshitting them like they were coworkers. And, you know, just doing the... you know, half-assed testing, and the people who are there for testing are like, I'm here to get tested. What are you doing?
What the...
So that was the Project Veritas story this morning.
This is one of the three original news networks.
Right. Yeah.
This is one of the three original news networks. Garbage.
Yeah, garbage. So, I mean, this was the network that Dan Rather worked for.
Never mind. Enough said.
Right. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. So, yeah. And so that was the, you know, that was the big news dump this morning, and that went away so fast. Yeah. It was trending, and then by noon, we were talking about killing grandma.
Oh, yay. But so here's the thing, though. Because, again, going back to some of these numbers that are being tossed out, and everybody's using them, and I mean everybody, the same numbers are being used on Fox News pretty much everywhere. We now know that some of these numbers have baked-in issues. Like they're reporting deaths. Yep. They're reporting deaths as likely COVID-related. That shouldn't be happening. Not anymore. We now have the ability to do testing both during, before, and after the fact. We should be able to tell you specifically who died from what and whether it was, in fact, COVID, and we need to be working on fixing those numbers. Because part of why everyone is freaking out is, again, the media not doing their job. Case in point, there was a story that just got released, I believe it was yesterday, about tons of new COVID cases as soon as Florida opened up. Well, the problem is there's a 14-day incubation period. So all these cases that we're talking about, these things were 2 weeks ago. At minimum was when we're talking about exposure. If we remove New York City from the equation, most of the countries flattened the curve weeks ago to the point where we haven't even had the curve that anybody's been talking about, and yet you still have the media going, we have to stay locked down forever or we're all going to die. Fuck you. I need a haircut. What? I'm fat, and at this point I want to go back to the gym. Just saying.
The hell's a game?
Hey, but, Ricky, Pixar didn't happen.
So I explained those numbers on Monday on FUBAR, and the discrepancy between the CDC front page and CDC 7 pages in. How there's one says 68,000, one says 37,000. And here's what it is that the 68,000 number is actual and probable COVID cases. But when you look back down into the actual numbers, and where you get the real number of 37,000, but that lags 4 weeks. And what that's dependent upon is the individual state's reporting off of the death certificate. So you have somebody who died, and say they died of pneumonia. And then they say, well, this was probably COVID-related. And then weeks later, when the state reports after the autopsy, it was pneumonia and not COVID, then that's when the amended number comes out. So the actual number lags by four weeks.
Wait, please.
Sure.
Are you saying that they are finally amending those numbers?
Yeah, the numbers will go up, obviously, because they're 4 weeks behind.
Are you saying that after the cause of death, after they're died, the coroner or whoever amends it and says, no, it really wasn't COVID?
Well, it by law, they have to put the actual cause of death on the death certificate. And what COVID does to your lungs versus what pneumonia does to your lungs or whatever, it's different. And we know that. So it depends on the state's policy. I mean, some states, yeah, they're padding the numbers because they're going to get more Fed money. So
I know, but I'm asking, is there a correction afterward?
Yes.
Okay.
It all depends. That's up to the individual state on how they correct it or not. So again, we're relying on the honesty of the state. But when you look at the graph, it has COVID-related, pneumonia-related, flu-related, combined COVID and pneumonia, combined COVID and flu, combined all three. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if they really wanted to scare the shit out of people, they would use the 97,000 number because that's all three of those combined.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, the reporting of somebody falling off a roof and they have COVID, so it's reported as a COVID. Some states probably still do that, yes, because they get money.
And I want to mention this. This is another thing I wanted to bring in because you know who gets the real money? The hospitals get a whole lot of money right now.
Sure.
For declaring a death as COVID.
Right, because they count on that, all of the care. Because it was said early on, and this is one of those things that, people don't, who's going to pay for all these medical bills for the people who have COVID? It was stated early on that if you have the virus, then your hospital, it's handled under Medicare. So
Yes, of course the hospital is going to do that, because then they can charge $8 for a Tylenol instead of $3. So, yes.
It's just, I forgive me. Finish your thought, because then I'm going to have something to say.
I'm basically done with my thought on that.
Okay. No, all I'm saying is what's... One of the things that disturbs me the most is the how quickly the temptation is of the great, the biggest hospitals, and remember, I'm around here in Boston, how great the temptation of the hospitals is to qualify deaths, code deaths, as COVID, because you will get, like, I don't know, an extra $20,000? An extra $20,000 for the deaths. And I want to highlight my friend, Erin Houst. I think her Twitter is EJ Houst. She is the first one that caught this, and she's been banging the drum on this, and I've been looking into this as well. And it's like, look, man, I understand that doctors have the Hippocratic Oath and do no harm, but administrators are administrators. And at the end of the day, everybody is failed humans, and I have no doubt that now, immediately, there is a whole lot of fraud going on. If you want to categorize, you're in a hospital, you want to categorize your deaths as COVID-19 deaths, if it gets you an extra $10,000 or $20,000 from the government. That's it.
Yeah,
I mean, and that's the thing. Those are the other things that we're starting to find out. Most of the people that are being put on ventilators right now, even if it's not the case, they're being told they're being put on ventilators for COVID-related issues because it unlocks extra government funding. These things,
holy shit, really?
Yeah, these things are being abused on so many levels. Hell, because this just happened to me, because of the unemployment benefit stuff and the federal funding that was tapped to actually add to unemployment, I just had somebody try to file for unemployment using my social. I got a letter today that said, hey, we've just had confirmation that you're on furlough from your job. Is this correct? And I said, no. I'm working from home. My state alone has reported 200,000 fraudulent unemployment claims in the last 6 weeks.
And you don't have that big of a state.
Our whole population is 4 million people, so you're talking about almost 20% of the population. Some of these employers are getting multiple requests. I actually know a guy who closed his business 3 years ago, and he's received 70 letters in the last 6 days. Some of them are the same names with different socials. And the thing about those letters are, if the employers don't respond, the checks automatically start going out within 10 days. And these people know this. Some of these things are being done from other countries, and because they've set up online access for this to try to make it easy and accessible. We have hundreds of thousands of fraud cases being worked nationwide right now because the government said, hey, we're going to give everybody an extra $600 in unemployment for the next 90 days. Yeah, unintended consequences much? Just saying. Anyway.
Well, that's kind of the whole... And I get it. This is going to happen when you have a thing like this. And you almost just kind of have to, like Kramer said, they just write it off. I mean, it's... when you have a national emergency like this... You have to expect it. Not only the grifters, but you just have to figure it as lost money because we don't have the system in place. I mean, we joke about this on Cyber Wars. The state of New Jersey was looking for COBOL programmers because that's how old their unemployment system is.
And the last time anybody called up COBOL programmers was for Y2K. So, I mean, you get an idea how archaic some of these state computer systems are. And yet they tax the shit out of us, so that way, well, you know, we need to upgrade our computer system, except for unemployment, or the DMV, apparently.
Yeah, of course, Gordy, of course. Come on. I don't think I need to hearken back to the Obamacare. The Obamacare websites, which failed nationwide. Come on, man.
We were joking about Jeff Lou and I were joking about this when we were making the KLRN website. It's actually more secure than
it's absolutely of course
than the Obamacare website was.
Of course, and that's the big meme. Every fail of the government is like, whoa, okay. Please take care of our health care.
Yeah, $2 billion for a website that leaked everybody's social security number.
I'm just saying, they could have given me like 1% of what they spent on the website, and I could have funded the station yeah, for like a right. 20 years.
Yeah.
All right.
I would have bought a CSS for Dummies book and gotten to work.
So anyway, this is kind of my plan for tonight, because everything's been so crazy. We're going to take a quick break. I've got one more thing I want to talk to you guys about, and then I don't think we're doing off the rails tonight, because I don't want to cut you guys short. But at the end of this show, you guys are welcome to hang around and listen to it too. What we're going to do is we're going to end the show with the segment put together by our good friend Gene Berardelli. So we're actually going to do the new YouTube segment he's put together. We're going to do that on tonight's Robinson and Wright instead of trying to do a whole nother show, because we're only 36 in thanks to the time issue and the freezings and everything else. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about what's happening in New York, because, you know, they always say no good deed goes unpunished, almost proving their point. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that when we get back. This is Robinson and Horty. I'm Robinson. He's Horty. She's Leslie. We'll be back in just a minute. We're right here, live on KLRM Radio, America's Podcast Network. We'll be back before you know it. Don't go away.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5000. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, welcome to this Subway ad for the new Sesame Ginger Glazed Chicken Signature Wrap. How would you like it?
I'll take a...
Sports announcer at home?
Yeah, how'd you...
We just know.
My wife picks up the new Signature Wrap. It's got double the rotisserie-style chicken mixed with a sesame ginger glaze. She appears annoyed at me, but she shrugs it off. Those sweet and savory flavors are calling her name. She lifts the wrap and... She takes the bite! Incredible! And now she's closing the door on my... Subway, make it what you want.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. Double meat basement, average 6-inch sub.
In uncertain times, we could use someone to lean on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma will stand by you with plan options to fit your budget. If you've recently lost your job, had a baby, or moved, you can still get the healthcare coverage you and your family need. Financial help may be available for those who qualify. Call 855-452-BLUE or visit hereforyouok.com to see if you're eligible to enroll. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a Mutual Legal Reserve Company.
How can we dance when our earth is turning?
I love this tune.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, my nihilistic kick continues. Welcome back. This is Robinson and Horty. We're only calling it that on a temporary basis because Dan is real, for those of you who still claim he's an imaginary voice in my head, and he will be coming back to do the show eventually if things ever start returning to normal. But before we went to break, I did this like industry thing that we call a tease, and I was telling you know that there's an old phrase, no good deed goes unpunished. Cuomo is proving that in spades, and we talked about this a little bit this morning on the Daily Dose, but I wanted to get you guys' take on this because here's the weird thing, right? So some of this makes sense. For those of you that have done contract work before, you may have, you know, maybe you travel for your company and occasionally you contract out to other places, you do sometimes have to deal with paying other states' income taxes. So that part I kind of understand, because Cuomo is basically, you know, everybody that's been, you know, called for all these volunteers, all these nurses, doctors, everybody, come to New York, help us save lives. So he's decided they have to pay state income tax. That, to me, is a little weird, but I kind of understand it. But here's where it gets really to the point where Cuomo is basically just trying to bend the people over the table that came to help him. They are trying to tax their income from their jobs in other states, not just the income they're being paid while they're working in New York. That is insane.
Yeah, if you took a leave of absence from your job, say you worked at a hospital in California, you took a leave of absence, you had some time accrued or whatever, and you're a salaried employee, and you went to New York to help bail them out and, you know, volunteer, air quote volunteer, you're still getting paid. Not only are you taxed for your what you got paid for helping out in New York, they're taxing your California income you earned as part of your salary or whatever arrangement you have worked out with the hospital you work for.
Which, correct me,
that's fucked.
So, well, just to make sure we're on the same page, this means these people are on their salary from whatever state they left, they're paying state and federal income taxes in the state they came from, and now because they've decided to work in New York to help save lives, they're actually going to be charged New York state income tax for money yep. they earned in California. I mean, or Texas or Oklahoma or anywhere else. And then that's not even the worst part of the story. The worst part of the story is Cuomo, right? I'm sorry, my name for him from now on, and I don't care who sends me hate mail about it, Cuomo the homo is now telling everybody, well, the only reason we're not giving anybody who came to help a tax break is because we're already so far in the hole, we don't see any way out. You're not spending any money to not take somebody's taxes out of their check, especially when you're spending more money because you're actually trying to tax them twice. And just for the record, you've opened yourself up to God knows how many lawsuits, because I'm pretty sure you can't pay state taxes in two states at the same time for income you didn't earn in that state. I'm just saying. Pretty sure there's probably a law against that somewhere. If there's not, there will be soon. And I'm sure it will be retroactive.
Here's where he fucking tops it off. You ready for this one? Okay. So he tweeted out later this afternoon for National Nurse Day
Oh God.
That
JetBlue was donating 200,000 flights to get whichever healthcare workers wanted to come from across the nation to a big parade to celebrate healthcare workers and to, you know, show, you know, whatever. You know, he's having a parade when this is all said and done, and JetBlue is going to fly 200,000 people in and out for it, health workers to appear in the parade. And my question to him was, are you going to tax them too?
It's a valid question, though, is it not?
Where's the lie? And this is taxation is theft. No matter how you try to sell it, taxation is theft.
Can I say something?
Absolutely.
That's why you're here.
I care nothing about this tax shit. He's going to have to answer for this taxing of this. So, I'm sorry. I'm so disgusted by this governor who basically, you know, they're shining him up to be the president or the vice presidential nominee. Everybody knows this. I've been saying this for months and months and months. They've been shining him up for this, but excuse me. He destroyed all of his nursing homes. He said there were no nursing homes that
Did we lose Leslie?
Yeah, I think so. I just saw her drop off. Let me see. Hang on. Skype, why are you being weird? It looks like she dropped off. I'll try to add her.
Everything's under attack, yo. I'm telling you. I don't know. I think this is warranted at this point because I'm pretty sure I know who's to blame.
China is asshole!
All right, so you keep working on trying to add her back. Let's see. I mean,
there she is. Let me see if I can get her back.
I don't know. It was like she was talking. I don't know what you heard, but I heard a burst of static on my end, and then I didn't even hear the sound that she dropped, so I think Skype's just being dumb.
Hello. Okay.
Hello.
Welcome back.
You're back.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I'm sorry.
It's not your fault.
No, so the governor said he had no idea what was going on with the nursing homes, accepting being forced to accept infected coronavirus patients. So that's a little weird.
Well, then you got the hospital ship that wasn't used.
Right, the hospital ship that wasn't used. So he's there doing daily briefings, and the president brought the hospital ship there, and it wasn't used.
And you had army hospitals set up in, like, stadiums and parks that weren't used. You had his council members, well, New York City Council. This isn't Cuomo. This is de Blasio. you had New York City
de Blasio, yeah.
De Blasio. You had his council members tell Samaritan's Purse, you know, now that we've flattened the curve, we don't need you here anymore. You can go. Exactly. We don't need your hate group here. You know.
Ooh.
I
don't know so. That. And then what's going on is that I'm sorry, I'm a little emotional about this. I'm sorry.
You're all right.
Yeah, you're fine. You know, the thing.
No, it's upsetting that this same governor and the same mayor started out like, hey, everybody come to Chinatown.
Yeah, I talk about that. I mean, okay, here we are, May, and they're just now disinfecting the subways. Yeah, it's one of my one of my things that when arguing with somebody from New York is to put up a picture from April 2nd of the number two train, completely packed, two people on it wearing a mask. It was said, if there was ever a more perfect way to deliver a virus to a large number of people, they could not think of anything better than a subway.
We don't even call them subways anymore. We call them human meat tubes.
Human meat tubes. You know what they are? They are a syringe injecting the virus into
a... God.
Yeah. Just saying. You know,
it's true. It's true, though.
You know, go down to Chinatown. Go take in a movie.
But it's like, don't be the governor and the mayor of the human meat tubes. And then declare that the whole rest of the country needs to go by your protocol.
Well, and that's where you get all the blue check Twitterati, you know, who live in New York and who think, because they've never been out into flyover country, think that, you know, Modoc County, California, which hasn't had a single COVID case, is exactly the same as them.
Exactly. Exactly. So. And again, this is funny because at the end, we're coming back to the beginning because I'm in Massachusetts, which is, you know, here up in the corridor, more densely populated. And, you know, we're operating over here. We don't, you know, in Boston, there's kind of a subway, but nothing like New York. And it's like, hey, let everybody in their states. This is why we're federals. We're a federal society. We have a federal constitution, and let every state and region operate in this case the way that is best for their region.
And that's why, I mean, that's honestly part of the reason why we are set up the way that we are. And that's one of the things that even the president has started telling people, you know, we can't do the things in areas that don't have the virus as bad as they do in New York City, the way they do things in New York City, or things are never going to open up again. And at this point, before we move on to the final segment, because we're going to take a few minutes and actually do the buffoon of the week thing here in just a second, I have one other question for you guys. Just off the cuff answer. For all these people that are, you know, freaking out because we're trying to reopen things, I mean, I only have one question for them, and I wonder what you think their answer might be. What level of unemployment do we finally have to get to before people realize that at some point, if we keep things shut down the way they are right now, eventually we're doing more harm than we are good? And why is that not being explained better?
Because there is no level of unemployment that they – I mean, there's no bottom to it because they think – and I've had these conversations. They think that the government just prints money. So it's like they don't understand Zimbabwe. They don't understand fiat currency. They don't understand the Weimar Republic. They just think that the government – and what? They don't even know where the government gets its money from. They don't correlate taxes with government spending. You know, it doesn't – their brain doesn't process that. So it could be 100% unemployment. I mean, one example I had today was, you know, talking about, well, you know, America would just, you know, they mobilized the workforce in World War II and, you know, everybody sacrificed and went and built airplanes. And I said, yeah, but you actually have to leave your house to go build an airplane.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't cure a virus sitting at home. Well, you know, the scientists already do. Well, then your argument's mute. Yeah, the scientists are the essential personnel. Your arguments are mute. The rest of us can go back to work because you just – anyway. No, there is no bottom line. They don't equate the government just sending everybody $2,000 a month. They think that the government doesn't do it because they're stingy, not because, you know, money has to come from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So and that's my answer.
Well said. Well said, Ordy. And my thing, and I want to hashtag, hat tip Dan Bongino for reminding me of this, is that we all live in a world of risk. We all live in a world of risk. We take a risk, get in our car, driving down the road. We take a risk leaving our house every day. We take a risk taking a flu shot or not taking a flu shot. And we take a risk getting on an airplane. We take a risk, those of us who build, you know, have a career building things, it's all a risk. And it's a risk, again, and we choose this every day as an individual, and we choose this as a society. And it's freaking me out, and it's freaking us out now, that we're getting pressure about this risk, that the risk to shut down our whole economy is better than this, you know, this kind of virus, even though we're seeing more and more and more, it's not worth that risk. And that's kind of the biggest learning that I have had through all of this. You know, it's, hey, there's a risk to allow anybody to drink alcohol, buy alcohol and drink alcohol. Certainly a risk to anybody to be able to drive cars. And this was a big deal, a big learning for me. And it helps me to be balanced in understanding, what are we going to do with the risk of this virus? We certainly have a risk of the flu virus, which has been with us for years and years and years. So this is something that I keep in my mind, and I keep in my mind with my opinions about what are we going to do with the whole economy right now.
Well, I mean, and that's part of the reason why I'm asking, because look, folks, I'm not trying to put on the tinfoil hat, or in this case, I guess it would be the aluminum foil hat, because who the hell has tinfoil anymore? But the whole point I'm trying to make here is, you know, this is dangerous, because we're now basically showing everyone in power that we will legitimately give up our freedoms if we are scared enough, and they give us reason to think that we have to. And with these numbers that we're now talking about, we're talking about numbers that at this point, even if you don't look at the revised numbers that are on page 7, like we were talking about earlier, we're talking about a bad flu season at this point. So what's going to happen now? Are we going to lock the economy down every 6 months when flu season kicks up again? Is that the new plan? Is that the new normal?
Good point, honey.
Is that the new plan? Is that the new normal? Is that what they're trying to get us ready to do? Because this seems like, I mean, look, and even the people that I trust in government, which are few and far between, seem to be using this as a point to try to see how ready we are for universal basic income. And the thought of that terrifies me.
Nope.
I've got to change topic here real quick. Jeff just posted something in the chat that has my eye fucking twitching. Breaking 911, San Francisco Health Department confirms it is providing alcohol, weed, nicotine, and other substances to homeless they are housing in hotels during the coronavirus quarantine.
San Francisco.
Here's the funny thing. They bought a Liberty ship so that way they could put homeless housing on it, and then they killed their own plan saying it was condemned.
Nice.
So,
all right.
Have fun over there, Ordy.
Whenever I get into a conversation with somebody from California, and especially when they're just really, really dumb, and
Ordy, in Arizona,
and it comes out, I'm going to be swimming in Arizona Bay if all goes well.
Bet your ass.
But
I'll see you there.
Everybody in the state of California. We can all agree on one thing. We can't agree on football teams. We can't agree on baseball teams. We can't even agree on politics. One thing we all agree on. We all fucking hate San Francisco.
All right. That's hilarious. And as far as I'm concerned, a good enough note for us to go ahead and move on to the final segment. Again, this is something that you will normally hear on America Off the Rails, but because of all the technical issues tonight, there's no way that I'm going to spin everything down, try to spin it back up again. And this is going to run for about 10 minutes as it is. This is from our good friend Gene Berardelli. For those of you who don't know, he used to do a show that was carried here on KLR Radio called Behind Enemy Lines. He basically took some time off due to health issues, retooled one of his most popular segments of the show, and now it is a standalone YouTube short, and he does it every week. You're about to hear it here. Make sure you go to the Buffoon of the Week channel when we're done. Make sure you've subscribed. Make sure you vote. The voting will actually close tomorrow. But here we go. Without further ado, here is this week's Buffoon of the Week edition with our good friend Gene Berardelli.
Why do people say without further ado when there's been no previous ado?
Shut up.
Shut up, Morty!
Dramatic intro music.
Well, apparently, well, I guess I'm going to have to read this because they can't see it. Episode 6, May the 4th, Madness. It is a time of great stupidity, while the greatest minds in the world struggle with stomping the spread of the dreaded coronavirus, buffoons everywhere continue to keep life, interesting. For millions in self-isolation who marvel at the incredible feats of stupidity happening all around them. It is a world where journalists report the news with no pants, where Tupac Shakur is not only alive, but is called out for filing for unemployment in Kentucky, and where a 40-year-old global franchise thinks you using a hashtag is a bad idea.
Welcome to Buffoon of the Week, where we keep tabs on the week's news and current events, and search for people who said or did something so colossally idiotic that we feel duty-bound to bring it to you to show you that such monumental stupidity still exists in the world. So what we've done here is created a process where we nominate a couple of really absurd examples and let you choose your favorite in our poll by clicking on the eye in the top right corner of the video or by leaving a comment in support of your favorite fool. Last week, in our largest poll to date, you chose fake news fraudster Chris Cuomo for Buffoon of the Week for staging his emergence from self-quarantine that we all knew he broke a week prior because he admitted it on his own national radio show. Hey, congratulations, Chris. You finally beat your brother at something. Being dumb. Before we open this week's show, just want to say thank you again to everyone who watched last week's video, who gave it a thumbs up, or who subscribed to the channel. We are growing a community every week here. So much so that I think it's time we created a name for ourselves. Anybody have any ideas out there? Why don't you leave a comment if you do, and if we use it, we'll give you a shout out in a future video. As always, we weren't lacking for potential nominees this week, so let's take a look at this week's dishonorable mentions. Bill de Blasio was back at it again this week, but this time the former Buffoon of the Week got into some hot water over tweets singling out the city's Jewish community for breaking city policies with social distancing, while in another tweet catering to the city's Muslim community, stating that the city was providing halal meals at no charge. He later gave a non-apology apology for his perceived unequal treatment, proving once again that wokeness is just another justification for favoritism. Speaking of past buffoons of the week, Alyssa Milano continued to defend our first ever winner, Joe Biden, amid allegations of sexual misconduct, and was joined in that support last week by Senator Kirsten Gillibrand and Georgia's Stacey Abrams, both of whom were very vocal advocates of the Me Too movement. I guess these ladies have proven what many have been saying all along. Believe all women is apparently the rule only when the offender is a Republican. And finally, on the lighter side, Good Morning America reporter Will Reeve decided not to wear pants when appearing on live TV. The problem is, we all saw it and laughed a lot. But all paled in comparison to this week's nominees. In honor of May the 4th, all we can say about these two nominees is that the stupid is very strong with them. We're talking about Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear and our first ever corporate nominee, Disney. Let's show you why. Listen, we know it can't be easy to be a political leader in these uncertain times. But when it comes to our first nominee, Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, we find his lack of awareness disturbing. Yep, Star Wars puns. Get ready for more of them. Anyway, back to Beshear. According to the governor, a few bad apples who think they're funny were responsible for slowing down Kentucky's unemployment processing making thousands of other people wait for their unemployment benefits. Bashir specifically pointed to a claim made in the name of Tupac Shakur as proof of these shenanigans. Except, Tupac Shakur really made the claim. No, not the deceased rapper. Although, well, there are those rumors, and I mean, is he really dead? The claim was made by Tupac Malik Shakur of Lexington, Kentucky, who was unemployed when the restaurant he worked for had to close. Whoopsies! Guess that name is more common than Bashir thought. And needless to say, Shakur was embarrassed and shocked to hear his governor not only put his business out on the street, but to call him a troublemaking fraud. After he wiped the egg off his face, Bashir apologized to Shakur and committed to getting the unemployed cook the money he needs. So, at least there's a happy ending. The only casualty here was Bashir's street cred. Like what you've seen so far? Don't forget to hit that thumbs up button. Leave us a comment as well, because we read every single one of them. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss another show. For the first time ever, a company has been nominated for Buffoon of the Week, and that dubious distinction goes to Disney. The House of Mouse was widely derided last week over a tweet on the company's Disney Plus account that seemingly tried to claim ownership over the unofficial holiday May the 4th, which is a play on words for the popular quote, "May the Force be with you." Disney, who purchased the Star Wars franchise in 2011, asked fans to celebrate the saga by using the May the 4th hashtag, and quickly followed by claiming that by using that hashtag, users had legally consented to letting the eater of franchises use and share the content they posted.
It's a trap!
Naturally, a ragtag band of rebels on Twitter, who long for the days of the original trilogy and their Kenner action figures, and who, let's face it, probably think that Disney destroyed the franchise anyway, responded with the anger of Darth Vader mixed with the sarcasm of Han Solo that Disney's attempt to claim ownership of a hashtag reeked of imperial treachery. Okay, no more Star Wars references. For now. Disney did backtrack from that tweet, but as things stand right now, no one quite knows how the Empire's gonna strike back. Okay, fine, that was the last one. Hey, don't forget that Buffoon of the Week is all over social media, so when you're online, make sure you like us on Facebook, you follow us on the Twitters, and go on over to Instagram and like us there too. But the most important thing you have to do is remember to subscribe right here on YouTube. So now that you know who the nominees are and why they've been nominated, let's give you some help deciding which buffoon deserves your vote. Here's our trademark pending Sharpton Scale of Buffoonery. It measures the buffoonish nature of the nominee in comparison to the only known buffoon to have ever earned a perfect score, the Reverend Al Sharpton. And it also measures the buffoonish magnitude of the actions we discussed earlier with our custom unit of measurement, the Sharpton. As you can see, we take our buffoonery very, very seriously. Andy Bashir is not exactly a household name nationally, and in his relatively short time in office, there may be some policy disagreements that we can point to, but there's not really a lot of stupid gaffes, so his personal score will be relatively lower. His apology to Tupac Shakur also mitigates his faux pas somewhat, so that will lower the buffoonish magnitude of the action. That said, this mistake did get a lot of coverage, and it's more of a bless your heart moment than anything else. So we should thank Bashir for the little chuckle he gave us. He rates a personal score of 54, and his failure to name check gets 944 gigasharptons. Because Disney basically owns all of pop culture, it probably thought that it could bully fans with some legal mumbo-jumbo over a hashtag that it cannot possibly own itself. A little research revealed that bullying has kind of become Disney's MO, as we found stories of Disney strong-arming theaters into agreeing to unreasonably high revenue splits and even demanding which auditorium its films must be screened in. Fans rightly pushed back and made Disney back off a little bit, so good for them. Disney gets a personal score of 68, and their social media fail gets a score of 1.36 gigasharptons. Okay, we've had our fun, and now it's time to get down to business. You have two buffoon nominees to choose from, but only one can win. Vote now and tell us who you got for Buffoon of the Week. Hey everybody, thanks for watching the whole video. Be sure to give it a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. And while you're at it, if you got a name for this awesome community that we're building right now, leave it in the comments. Maybe we'll pick it. See you all next week where we do it all again for Buffoon of the Week.
And there you have this week's episode of Buffoon of the Week, and it looks like it's going to be an interesting vote. Sorry, Ron, I had no idea your governor made Buffoon of the Week. I didn't listen to it in advance. Wow.
Who would have thought? You know, this is Disney. I mean, it's Disney hands down. They're the most litigious. Don't think that they wouldn't go and sue every single person who used that hashtag. They will. They've sued people for using Mickey Mouse. They've sued preschools for using Mickey Mouse's likeness.
Yeah, that doesn't without, really surprise me.
Yeah, their attorneys are like the clone army.
It's a good reference. I'm not going to lie. All right. So I guess we lost Leslie at some point again. Oh, well.
Oh, bummer.
I'm done fighting technology tonight, folks. I don't know what's going on. I think everybody's out to try to destroy the interwebs. All right, my friend, we're going to go and start wrapping this up. Why don't you remind folks where it is they can find you when you're not doing this kind of stuff with me? Because, you know, you do like 11 shows a week now. Kind of like me.
Well, you can find me, obviously, as Ordy Packard on Twitter. Is that my screen name? I don't know. I've had so many. Ordy Packard on Twitter. Or I'll be back tomorrow night with Brad. You'll be producing us for Culture Shift, where we take our skeptical eye, like the eye of Sauron, and point it at the entertainment industry for generally good mockage and, you know, let you know what to do with your weekend. And then I'll be back next Monday on Flu Bar, One Nation Under, with Plitta Bunny.
You guys should actually have Brad record something like that. If it was, but I have a feeling it's going to be rapping because I heard her governor's about to open stuff back up. So she,
yeah. So I give it after the virus about a month, and then she'll want to get back on a weekly show. I have a feeling,
probably. All right. Anyway, you can find me pretty much anywhere on social media as @Rowdy, @RowdyRick73. You can find me on Facebook as Rick Robinson. Please, if you like what we're doing here, follow along with the station. Also, if you like what we're doing here, you may want to consider finding mental health help. I'm just kidding. All right. And you can
find Reagan, close the asylums.
You can find me right here again bright and early tomorrow morning, starting at 6 Eastern on The Daily Dose with my good friend Stacey Lennox. And I'll be off for the rest of the week after that, other than producing for you guys tomorrow night. And then I'm going to take some time off and probably sleep, because I don't know, dude. I made a rookie mistake, and I'm not even a rookie about it anymore. As I've gotten older, I can't eat things the way that I used to. And the wife was hungry, and she was working in the garden, and she's like, I don't really feel like cooking on Sunday night. And I'm like, I don't really feel like cooking either. Let's just go grab something. Next thing I know, we're getting $5 boxes from Taco Bell. My stomach has been killing me ever since. I'll feel fine until I eat something, and then it's like the episode of Aliens all over again. Like something's trying to claw its way out of my stomach. It happened to me again tonight when I eat a sandwich for dinner. I didn't even, like, not a whole dinner. I ate, like, one sandwich. And, like, within 10 minutes, I was like, oh, my God, my stomach's killing me again. So,
get
yeah.
Some chicken soup and some saltines.
Needless to say, Taco Bell is back off the list. Or on the list.
Yeah.
Not sure which way you want to look at that, but same thing. All right.
It's on a list.
It's on the never-to-be-eaten-again list because it's terrible. Sad thing is it actually tasted good, just my stomach doesn't apparently like it anymore. All right, we're going to get out of here. I'm going to shut things down for the night, do some scans, make sure I don't have anything else weird going on, but I have a feeling...
Next to Foo Bar.
I already did. While you and Leslie were talking, I actually went in and cleaned it up, so I'm about to fix that too and get it uploaded. But on that
note... Good night, Leslie. We were sorry we lost you.
Yeah, I don't know. She was there and then she was gone, but I'm done fighting technology for the night. We will see you guys tomorrow morning. The week's getting closer to over. Thank God! Here's the last
stop trying to make it.